Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to some more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I sure hope that you're tuning in because you've been getting these teachings and they've been edifying you and building you up and hopefully they've been challenging you. You know, that's one of the reasons we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And you say, well, who's we? Well, my name is Matthew Minona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we're the owners and operators of The Wash and Word. That's the hand car washing business. We're located in Churchill on Highway 11W. You'll find us in the Powell Shopping Center. And while you're in that area, you can turn to 107.1 FM. And we play all these messages on a loop. Each week, we put five new 15-minute messages, and we play them, and they go off into the parking lot. So while you're hanging out, maybe eating your pal's lunch, or you're waiting in line to get your car washed, or you're just hanging out over there at the library, you can tune to 107.1 FM and you can hear some solid Bible teaching. And, you know, you look around, there's a church on every corner. The Lord knows we don't need another church, but we definitely need more of the Word of God. And that's why we created this business as a non-traditionary way of getting God's Word into the public ear. These messages you'll hear in the parking lot, they air on WMCH 1260 AM radio, Monday through Friday at 8:30. You can catch me there, and you can catch live verse-by-verse Bible teaching Sunday night at 6 p.m. over at Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, Churchill. All right, so if you have any questions, you can call 423-920-0913 or go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, and find out all the information you need. Let's get back into it. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. We finished chapter 1 yesterday, and we're going to get into chapter 2. And the first part of chapter 2 is really just a continuation of chapter 1. Not even sure why they put the number 2 where they put it, but it is where it is. So Paul just got through talking about true wisdom, talking about knowledge, talking about our ability and our wisdom and our knowledge and how it means really nothing when you compare it with the holiness and the righteousness of God. And this is the crux of his teaching here, is he's talking about the wisdom and the power that we get when we draw upon the strength of God. And he says, when I came to you, this is verse 1 now, chapter 2, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquent or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And we'll stop there and just talk a little bit about this. Chapter 2 is kind of a small chapter, but it's got a lot in there. I could probably break it down into 3 full-length sermons if I wanted to. But Paul's, he's furthering this point about the difference between, you know, preaching God's word or witnessing. You know, you don't have to be a preacher. You can just be out there witnessing your faith. There's a difference between doing it in the flesh and doing it with the wisdom that God provides. And this is one of the problems that a lot of people have, is we put too much flesh, too much carnality into our message. When in reality, all we should be doing is resting in the finished work of Christ, presenting the witness and testimony of what God has done in our lives. And if you don't have that witness and that testimony, then I suggest you take time and get back into that personal fellowship with Jesus and let God start to move and work in you. And when he does that, he'll begin to do a work through you. And remember this, friends, knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is not wisdom. There's a difference between knowing something and having wisdom about something. Like, I know that I shouldn't run a red light, and wisdom is not running the red light. See, there's a difference there. Proverbs 8:12, Solomon sort of personifies wisdom. He says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. So we see there's a big difference between the two of them. And today in this world, we don't lack knowledge. If you think about it, we know so much about space, of course, so much to still to learn. We know so much about the earth. We know so much about the sea. And even though there's a lot more to discover, we have come a long way. We know the ins and outs of the human body and the scientific things that we know as a human race. It's amazing. So there's no lack of knowledge, but friends, there is a famine of wisdom. And this is seen easily in Proverbs 9:10, where Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And if we look around, the fear of the Lord is all but diminished except for select few congregations and people. We have lost that fear. And if you lose the fear of the Lord, you lose the wisdom that goes along with it. In verse 2, Paul shows us something. He said that he's determined in advance that he was not going to defend or illuminate or color the gospel in flowery words or present it in a courtroom-like presentation, here's the body of evidence. No, he said that I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul put aside all of his wisdom and knowledge and understanding that he thought he had, and simply relied on the one message that mattered, Christ, and that Christ crucified. But you see, in Corinth, this was a epicenter of philosophy and idol worship, and they were accustomed to anything that was being presented to them to have a body of evidence provided along with it. So in short, Paul decided in advance that he was going to rely on the Holy Spirit to preach, not on human ability. And I think he's onto something there, don't you? What if we were to rely on the Holy Spirit to preach, not on human ability? Now, I get it. I understand. There is, in every message that is delivered by every pastor or preacher out there, or every minister, or every layman, there is a measure of your human ability involved. God created us with certain human strengths that he takes and uses them, natural abilities, and he provides the supernatural touch. And we work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. So God has created you with a certain personality, a certain way that you communicate, a certain measure of your makeup that God wants to use. He's just saying, don't let that be most of what you use, especially when you preach Christ and Christ crucified. We trust only on the Spirit to give us the words. Listen, your gospel presentation of the King of Kings, and I sure hope you have one. Your gospel presentation of Jesus, the Savior of the world, it better be steeped in the headwaters of the Holy Spirit. And by that I mean it should be completely soaked in the Holy Spirit. It should be completely generated by the Spirit, completely delivered by the Spirit. Because for every selfish, vain, carnal, human, fleshly ingredient we add to our gospel presentation, that's one small iota of power that the Spirit will not have a chance to work through you. And in that same verse that he starts off with a reference to one of the most unpleasant of all subjects, and that, of course, was the crucifixion. And, it's so tempting as an evangelist, whether you're a preacher in a church or you're just walking around sharing your faith with your neighbors and your friends and your family, it's tempting to want to present Jesus, especially to unbelievers, in the best possible light that you can. It's very tempting, to present him with the gifts that he brings and the joy that he brings and the peace that he brings and the power that he brings and the best life you can have now that he brings. But like all temptation, it's tempting because it is appealing. And the reason it's appealing is because the devil wants to warp the true message of Jesus Christ. It isn't Christ and all good things. Paul says it's Christ and Christ crucified. We preach a full gospel when we open up our mouths to teach the world about Jesus. The spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well in the world. And everywhere you turn, someone or something is telling you that your whole world can change by using this product or visiting this tropical resort. And in essence, if you do that in any capacity of your delivery of the message of the cross, we prostitute Jesus by presenting him in an unbalanced light. And it's not only wrong, but it's a lie. C.S. Lewis once said, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither." So, seek Jesus or present Jesus for the sake of gain, and you'll get nothing. But seek him or present him for the sake of the kingdom, that is to aim at heaven, be willing to live on the street if you have to, or die for your faith and stand up for the truth if necessary. Oh, friends, this is the secret back door to true peace, true happiness, and true blessing. Because you can still preach Jesus and preach happiness, joy, peace, blessing, prosperity, and all the rest. But we do it by seeking heaven first, seeking the kingdom first. You might say, "Well, handsome radio preacher, that doesn't make sense. Why would I present Jesus in such a negative light?" Well, if you're asking that question, I would say to you, now you're getting it. Now you're starting to see that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Here in Corinth, it was the same thing. These people were exploring and they were exploiting. There was lewdness and crudeness. They were master debaters and there were masturbators. I'm sorry if that sounds a little harsh, but this is what was going on in that city. It was complete sexual immorality. And this is why Paul made up his mind in advance that he was going to tell it like it is. And what is it he's telling them? He's telling them the unpleasant, unpopular truth about Jesus. And you might think, but why? Why would you want to present Jesus in such a way? Because friends, listen to me. And this is important as we begin to wind this message down. It is the cross of Christ that brings judgment upon man's wisdom. It is the cross of Christ that brings judgment upon man's wisdom. It is that unpleasant, unpopular cross that does this. In the last message, I mentioned that the cross was meant to be offensive. The kingdom of heaven never advanced through wimpy, quiet, mild-mannered people. It always advanced with violence, and the violent take hold of it. It is an offensive message, and it's meant to create a move of one's spirit. You see, people reject Jesus not because they don't believe in what he represents, but because they do believe it. The message of the cross and all of its foolishness is meant to bring a person to that place that brings judgment, that brings decision. And even if that decision is, no thanks, as the cry of the world goes out, you can stand before Jesus one day and say, "Lord, I tried. I tried. I didn't alter your message. I didn't sugarcoat your message. I didn't present it in a way that was unbalanced. I gave them the truth and they decided they didn't want it. They decided they'd rather live in darkness." Paul says it's the message of the cross that brings people to that decision. And isn't that what we need to do? You say, "Well, if I bring the gospel to them in all of its fullness, aren't I causing them to possibly be condemned by their decision?" Yes. Yes, you are. But far better it be to make a decision than to go into the judgment seat before Christ lukewarm. Paul says it's the message of the cross, not resurrection, not the teaching of forgiveness, not the teaching of atonement. It's the message of the cross. So friends, let's get out there and deliver the message of the cross, and let's do it unabashed and unashamed. Amen. Well, again, I want to invite you over to Abundant Life Fellowship on 415 Old Union Road at 6 p.m. That's where I do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. You can also come there at 10 or 10:30 Sunday to catch Sunday school and come for the service. We also, again, invite you to the Wash and Word, where you can come get your car washed, and we use that money to keep this ministry going. That's how you can support it. Well, we look forward to seeing you, and let us know you've been listening. Have a good day.